The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 165 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. And as you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we like to focus on one or more of three groups of people: you, them, and or me. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on two of them, specifically you and me. The You segment is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the You part, we have a groundbreaking press release authored by the Pennsylvania Ballot Access Coalition. Wait till you hear their ideas. And then after that will come the Me portion of the Pennsylvania Project. It will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, and today it's a goodie. It's all about my first visit to a New Jersey cannabis dispensary. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to serve as narrator, read our live commercials. Today's narrator is making his third appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He is Utsav Ganariwala.
Canary. Yes.
All right.
Of the that Drexel, was perfect.
Of the Drexel Speaks Toastmasters Club at Drexel University in Philadelphia. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project.
It's great to be here.
It certainly is. Now, does anybody abbreviate your last name, or they always just say...
They just don't say it. That's the best way.
Oh, you know what? I probably take that advice to heart. Well, thanks for being here. It's good to have you back, sir.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, we have another Toastmaster with us according to another ancient custom, and she's here to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. It's the role that we call cohort, and she is making her 25th appearance on the Pennsylvania Project, a record breaker again every time you show up, Donna.
Woohoo!
You're just leaving them all in the dust. Nobody's got half as many as you do. She's none other than Donna Herb, Secretary of the ETS Toastmasters in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome back. All the way down from Flemington in the police state of New Jersey.
Oh, really? You're going to hold that against me again?
Well,
but I'm in Hunterdon County. It's a good county.
It's pretty up there.
It's very pretty.
What, is my characterization wrong? Is it a police state or isn't it?
I don't have much problem with it.
Well, wait till you hear my rant and see what you think then. All right, let's keep moving because this new half-hour format is really leaning on us.
Yes.
I hear we got a press release somebody sent us.
We did indeed, and it was from the Pennsylvania Ballot Access Coalition.
Okay.
They were announcing the Political Party Equality Act.
Sounds good already. I like it.
Well, according to the coalition, its passage would reform Pennsylvania's ballot access laws by following the constitutional mandate that, quote, all elections shall be free and equal.
Yes.
And silly me, I thought we had free and equal elections. No.
Well, it's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 5, but, you know, they don't read it. They don't care. Well, I was really happy to read that because it's about time somebody paid attention to the Pennsylvania Constitution because ballot access is far from equal here in Pennsylvania. Because when I ran for Pennsylvania governor in 2002, Ed Rendell needed 2,000 signatures to get his name on the ballot. Do you know how many I needed?
More than that.
21,028. More than 10 times as many. Why? Because they said so.
Which is ridiculous.
I know. They're afraid of the competition. I don't know. In any case, it would be a neat trick if they could crack that nut, Donna, and actually get people to follow the Pennsylvania Constitution. I assume the release says how they're going to do that.
Well, it said it would do three things. They said, one, they would eliminate taxpayer funding of primary elections in Pennsylvania.
Hallelujah.
All political parties would choose their own candidates according to their own party rules and at their own expense. And the candidates so chosen would automatically appear on the November ballot.
My first reaction was like, what? Eliminate the primaries? Definitely. Sign me up for that one. Hey, we libertarians, we pay for our own candidate selection process. Why shouldn't everyone? right? Why dump it on the taxpayers? And the last time I looked, each primary election cost Pennsylvania over $20 million each. So someone, please tell me, why should taxpayers pay for the beauty contests of the two old parties? I don't know. To my mind,
Well, I was going to say in some, I know I'm off script here, but you know, in some places, the primaries where the election is actually done because there is only like one main party. So,
well, then maybe more people would join that party instead of dumping it on us taxpayers.
Yeah.
To my mind, the only thing the government should be doing is running fair elections in November, not beauty contests in the spring. And by the way, I'm glad the coalition is not calling for open primaries. That's not the correct solution for sure, because whether they're open or closed, we taxpayers are still paying for somebody else's beauty contest. And that's wrong. So no open primaries, no primaries at all. Let's just let the two old political parties pay their own way, like we libertarians do, like the Greens do, like all the independents do. I'm telling you, I like this Political Party Equality Act so far.
Well, the second thing that they're saying it's going to do is to equalize the definition of a quote-unquote political party.
Isn't it even already?
Well, it would consolidate all types of political organizations into a single category called a quote-unquote qualified political party.
Okay.
And in order to be a qualified political party, there are two criteria that would need to be met. First is that their current party rules must be on file with the Department of State.
Oh, that's easy.
Yep. And the second thing is, now this one's going to be a tricky one, okay? That 1/20th of 1%, all right, that's like 0.05%, right? So 1/20th of 1% of all voters must be registered to vote as a member of that party.
Okay.
And if you do the math, that comes out to about 4,000 voters and would only include the Democrat, Green, Libertarian, and Republican parties.
That's it.
Yep.
I like that one too, you know?
Really?
Yeah, because what we have now is a mess. Right now there are three different categories in the law. You got political parties, minor political parties, which I think is a rude name, and political bodies. My parties. Political party, they got 15% of the voters registered in their party. Pretty straightforward. That does limit the number of political parties we can have in Pennsylvania to 6, but there's that. To be a minor political party, there's some complex formula that I've talked about before. It's based on the number of votes that they receive in a recent statewide election. And political bodies, why can't I say that? If you're not a political party or a minor political party, that means you are a political body. And they're treated pretty much the same as a minor political party. And I think it's all pretty confusing, and I stumbled over that twice. So consolidating into one simple definition, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's a little confusing to have like a body or a minor. You know, it's like kind of similar.
And it's rude. How dare you call me minor? We're the third largest party in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a step back. The coalition wants to eliminate primaries, and I'm down for that. They want to simplify the definition of a political party, and I'm definitely down for that.
Simplify the ballot is a third thing.
Okay.
They want to simplify ballot access for independents.
Oh, hallelujah. We need that, too, because I've run as an independent.
Yeah. So rather than using the current complex formula, as you said, there's a lot of complexity about what it is now, right? So candidates who are not affiliated with one of the newly named qualified political parties would need to collect the number of signatures that the two old parties currently need to collect.
Okay, so that'd be like
your 2000-ish.
Yeah, for Ed Rendell.
But most importantly, I should say, signatures would be validated by the county or state agency that receives them and not by private organizations or individuals.
Oh, man, I'm on top of that one. That sure sounds fair. So, yeah, Ed Rendell, he needs to get 2,000 signatures to get on the ballot. That would be the number that an independent candidate would need to get on the ballot.
Yeah, why should you have a different number?
I know.
It doesn't make sense.
Equal!
That's the equal part.
Uh-huh. And by the way, for legal geeks, I looked it up, and the signature requirements of the two old parties are cited as 25 CS 2872.1. 25 CS Consolidated Statutes, that stands for 2872.1. So equal is equal. And there are lower ones. I think for your local town council, it's like 5 signatures or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Last time I ran for my town council, I needed 17, 3 times as many. Just.
I would think definitely depending on the office, if you're running for a Senate seat versus the mayor of a town and the size of the town. So that part makes sense.
And if those numbers were good for the two old parties, they're good for the independents. Equal.
Why not?
Now, I really like that part about the Political Party Equality Act, about the state validating the signatures and not individuals. Because right now, anyone can challenge your signatures. If you submit the petition to get your name on the ballot, anybody can challenge it. Hmm. And it always, always results in an expensive court challenge, which is the sort of thing that most independent and third-party candidates cannot afford. For example, I know a Green Party candidate, Carl Romanelli. I got to get him on the show. Hmm. He had his signatures challenged in court. And not only did they throw him off the ballot, they fined him $80,000 for the temerity of trying to get on the ballot.
What?
It was for Department of State costs, signature verification costs, opposing attorney costs, cost costs, photocopy costs, signature analysis.
Why? How were they even able to do that to him, to fine him like that?
They came up with some clever loser pays aspect. Fortunately, though, that has been thrown out. I was the plaintiff on a court case that went to the federal courts, and they said, no, that's crazy. Ruins freedom of association, so they can't do that anymore. So those fines have been found unconstitutional.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the thing about having the county or state agency. They could still do them, but they can't fine you for them. Because if somebody does it, they'll just do it just out of spite. So they distract you from the campaign. They deplete your coffers. So it will do away with that. That's what that sounds like. That's good. I would love to have that thrown away. Because that way, when you hand in your petition, somebody at the Department of State will then say, yep, good. And that's it. None of this court case, none of this expensive, no getting attorneys in on here.
Yeah, the fee thing is ridiculous.
Heaven forbid. So that's it then?
That's it, as far as it said. So
no primaries, a simpler definition of a political party, free and equal elections, and none of these killer fines.
Ballot access for your independents.
Oh, it sounds good to me, man. Oh man, New Jersey, it's a lot easier. 500 signatures, and you're on the ballot, statewide ballot.
And you complained about where I live. Ha.
Well, sometimes the police state throws you a bone, and we're going to find out about that in just a couple of minutes here when we get to the next part of the thing. Well, I tell you, I'm definitely going to support this voters, what they call it?
The Pennsylvania Ballot Access Coalition.
Yes, and their Political Party Equality Act.
Yes.
And they are at, they got a website, politicalpartyequality.org.
Yeah.
And they got all kinds of.
They've got all sorts of people in there, too, that are supporting this, besides the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Constitution Party, the America First Party, the Reform Party, the Prohibition. I mean, there's a ton of them in there.
Prohibition Party? I'll drink to that.
Yeah, that's part of the Socialist Party. No.
Oh, boy, he's going to hold a gun to my head. There we go. Never mind. On that political reform note, that's going to have to do it for the U portion of episode 165 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I will be ranting about my first visit to a New Jersey cannabis dispensary.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We are here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we have authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution to be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, pennsylvaniaproject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore?
Hey, Donna Herb here, cohort on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Well, hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters and now I'm on the radio. So turn your life around, like I have, and visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome. And be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project Radio Show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out the tax laws and filing out all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes? All the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can even pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, S-I-X-T-E-E-N.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 165 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Today, it's all about my first visit to a New Jersey cannabis dispensary. In case you haven't heard, the police state of New Jersey, of all places, has legalized recreational cannabis. Yep, you heard that right. Unbelievable, but true. They've opened up maybe a dozen dispensaries, as they call them. They're scattered around the state. Well, you know, when I used to smoke pot back when I was in college, back in the days when you took your freedom into your own hands, every time you lit up, man. But with that sort of history, I just had to go visit one of these new wonders of the modern world to see where things are going these days. Now, it is definitely not legal for Pennsylvania residents to bring pot into the state, but there is no law against out-of-state people buying it. So the first week that the dispensaries were open, it was just last week, I decided I was going to pay them a visit. First, I stopped by the one in Belmar, just across the Walt Whitman Bridge from Philadelphia. And we were still a block away, and you could just smell the aroma of fresh pot hanging in the air. And the dispensary itself is just a plain storefront, but there was a huge line snaking out the front door and wrapping around the building. Then there was this guy standing in front of the driveway wearing some official-looking orange vest. So I opened the window, and I just asked him, I said, "How long is that line?" "Oh, about an hour," he told me. Yeah, right. Well, I wasn't going to wait an hour. So I'd figure out, I'd check out the next nearest dispensary, which is on US 1, just outside of Trenton. So we jumped on 295 and headed north. And when we got there again, there was an official-looking guy standing in the driveway with a bright orange vest emblazoned with one word, Sheriff. Oh, man. As I opened my car window, first thing he says to me was, "Recreational or medicinal?" Recreational or medicinal? Imagine how I felt. I mean, here's Ken, child of the 60s, a past pot smoker, facing a police state sheriff of all people, asking me what kind of pot I want to buy. Oh, man, it's like a sting operation from back in the day. Well, I mustered my courage and hesitantly replied to him, "Recreational?" "Park over there," he said with a smile, and just walked away. And that was it. No sting operation, no evil eye stare, nothing. So I just parked where he told me to park. Now, the line in this dispensary was a lot shorter than the one down in Belmar, maybe only a dozen people in total. And every few minutes, they let in about 5-6 people at once. So the line moved pretty quickly. And before I know it, I was inside. And as before, that aroma of fresh pot was everywhere. The place itself was pretty industrial looking. It was like one large room with a wide counter along one wall. Maybe a dozen people staffing the counter with a short line of customers in front of each staffer. I picked a line, and in a minute or two, I found myself face to face with an official, legal, police state drug pusher. What can I get you? He asked with a smile. I'm telling you, the cat got my tongue for sure, because that's because having that sort of conversation here in Pennsylvania is good for 5 to 10 years in the Gray Bar Hotel. Can you imagine how counterintuitive it felt trying to overcome a lifetime of training? Man, it reminded me of the early days of my marriage when the goal was to actually try to get the girl pregnant. Counterintuitive for sure, but I digress. Anyway, getting back to the drug pusher's question, what did I want? I didn't know. How long's it been, you know? So I figured the best plan of attack was to treat this guy like he was some kind of a wine sommelier and ask him for a recommendation. I told him, give me something that'll stimulate the imagination. Maybe some good giggles in it, too.
You didn't just say, what do you got?
I felt silly saying it. I think I blushed, you know? But this guy, he took no notice. He just said, flour, pre-rolled, or edible? How about
flour?
Some buds? Oh. He says, oh, we call that flour.
Okay.
Oh. And what he did, he just reached out and put a small plastic jar in the on the tabletop there. Now, at this point, he hesitated. He looked at me, he says, can I see your driver's license? And my thought was, oh no, here comes the sting. And then he looked at it, he smiled, and he says, hey, you qualify for a wisdom discount. A what? A wisdom discount, he said. A 10% senior citizen discount.
No way.
Way! I laughed out loud. I said, oh, cheap MD. Pot for seniors? Hey, I'll take it, you know?
A 10% discount.
And he says, well, and he handed me the jar, and he says, that'll be $90 minus $9 discount, making it $81 total, and cash only. Well, I wasn't sure he was going to pull out no credit card with a telltale chain of custody to purchase something that's so blatantly outrageous. So I handed him a C note that I brought specifically for the occasion, which is twice the street price, I'm told, even with that discount. And he handed me my change, put the jar in a plastic bag, and said, have a nice day, and he faced the next customer in line. And that was it. No sting operation, no evil eyes there, nothing. Just legal pot. And at a discount, no less. Un-effing believable. This is a libertarian dream come true. And it's in the police state of New Jersey, of all places.
See, we're not so bad.
Will wonders never cease? I'll tell you. As my predecessor here on WWDB, Irv Homer, would say, it boggles the mind. Well, I grabbed my bag and headed over to my aging hippie buddy's place after that and left him a present from this new gilded age. And the funny thing was, after I got back in the car to head on home, the car absolutely reeked of fresh pot, even though I had never even opened the silly jar. It's a good thing I didn't get stopped once I got back in Pennsylvania. Can you imagine that? I rolled down the window, the cop would be like, you smell that? Oh, for sure he would have noticed that aroma, and he would have ripped the car apart, looking for something that just was not there. And that leaves me wondering now, which one is the actual police state? Pennsylvania? New Jersey? Probably both. Pennsylvania still has the Neanderthal laws when it comes to cannabis. New Jersey has Neanderthal laws when it comes to privacy, gun ownership, and all sorts of other things.
Depends on your topic.
That's true. So I guess both of them are police states to one degree or another.
So what you're saying is if you buy pot and you live in Pennsylvania, and you buy pot in New Jersey, you better smoke it there before you get back home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're not allowed to take alcohol across the border either, but people do that all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will take it. I'm happy to take that good news because it shows that the world is finally ending all this reefer madness that's gripped it for the last 100 years. And with New Jersey so close to Pennsylvania geographically, I think it's only a matter of time before Pennsylvania wakes up and realizes the huge revenue stream that's missing on taxation because, oh, I actually have the receipt.
I was going to ask you how much on taxes. What percent? Oh, was it? Was it just regular sales tax?
No, oh, man, now you got me rolling.
Rolling or unrolling?
It's I got it here. It's called Popcorn Banana Pudentane, $90 for a unit price. Senior, 55 and over, 10% discount, $9 off, subtotal $90. New Jersey adult use sales tax, $11.33. Lawrence Township adult use tax, $3.42 for a total tax of $14.75. Payment, cash, $100. Due customer. Anyway, huge, huge tax revenue that they're missing out on. I can't wait. It's going to happen. Pennsylvania is going to climb on board that cannabis sooner than later.
The cannabis.
They actually have one in Seattle. It's called the cannabis.
Really?
Yeah. It just drives around Center City. You're allowed
dealing?
Yeah. You're allowed to smoke in your car, according to Seattle law or Washington state law. But you can't smoke on the streets. So at lunchtime, people leave work. They get on the bus. They get off. And they get off the bus.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah. So they pay the fare and they sell munchies. Great idea.
And then your car doesn't smell like smoke.
That's right.
It's all on the bus.
I know. And I'm telling you, it's coming. And I am one 60s hippie libertarian who simply cannot wait for that day to arrive. On that high note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 165 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about legal pot or putting Pennsylvanians in cages for smoking it? Or the Political Party Equality Act? Or teaching Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids? Or anything somewhat Pennsylvania related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley. Our featured Toastmaster cohort is Donna Herb. Featured Toastmaster narrator, Butsov. Official bartender Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard Joe the Pag, radio producer Brett Kronberger, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, hopefully without throwing your own citizens in a cage.
Or under the bus.
A cannabis.